Well, Clara Joshke was the nurse at Sashamdata, where my daughter was the teacher. The priest there was a national man of Papuan. My daughter ran the schools, and she had about a dozen schools way out in the bush, all over the place. She was the only European teacher. And Clara was the nurse, and a very capable nurse too. And they became very great friends. And she eventually became Mrs. Owen. John Owen was a government patrol officer, medical patrolman, and a fellow named David Birmingham was the agricultural patrolman. They were government people, young fellows, and they used to come on patrol all through these jungle places, you know, looking at villages and all that sort of thing. And of course, anyone like that in New Guinea, they come on patrol way out in the bush and they go to the mission, you know, and, you know, have a shower if they can get it, and a feed, and talk to the girls overnight and one thing or another, you know, you go to the mission, that's the only place anywhere where there's any Europeans. Well, John Owen and David Birmingham used to come in there to Sashamdata, and Clara eventually married John Owen. And Miss Joshke left it to, or I think left it to Clara, and to her half-sister, Mary.
And they're living there now, aren't they?
Huh?
Isn't it an Owen that lives there now?
Yeah, John lives there.
Oh, right.
Yeah, well, Clara had cancer. When they came back from New Guinea, John Owen, who was in charge of the St. John's Ambulance or something, I think, in Port Moresby, you know, and he'd been mixed up with medical hospitals and all the rest of it, all his sort of working life. He was a shearer way up out of southwest New South Wales somewhere, way up in the bush there. And he went to New Guinea and he got this job. And he grew up there and he had all sorts of jobs. But when he came back here, he had no qualifications, you know, he just grew up in the medical service there. And he found it very difficult to get a job. And Clara went back to work. She worked, they had five children, who were my daughter Margaret, or sister Josephine now. She was a godchild to a godmother of the eldest boy, I think. I think it was the eldest or the second eldest, Bill, who now lives in Sydney. And, you know, they became very great friends. Well, Clara worked night shift at hospitals, and John Owen had kidney trouble. Had to be on dialysis machine and all this sort of thing. And found a difficulty at work and everything. But he eventually did some course and he had a job with Myers, I think it was, as a safety officer, you know, he used to make sure that they round machines and that, you know, they wore their right penuria and all this. And they treated him very well. He's on a dialysis machine 3 days a week. Has been for about 15 years, and they used to give him time off to go and all this sort of thing, you know. But so they eventually, they used to come up here for holidays, but they eventually took that over and lived there, Clara and John, and the twin daughters. They lived up there and they altered the house. They didn't pull it all down, they pulled a bit of it down, but a lot of the old cottage is still there. And they lived there. Now, the studio was next door, more or less, the studio, as they call it.
Yes.
Bill Hudson eventually bought that.
Yes.
And that's Helen's studio now.
Yes.
Now, Bill will tell you the history of, you know, I say that Miss Joshke left it to Clare and now, and they sold it to Bill, but that's not right. But Bill knows who bought it and who owned it and all the rest of it. He'll tell you all about that. He's told me, but I forget. But now, Clara, not long ago, died from cancer. Very sad. Lovely person. They're both lovely people. Well, then, her half-sister, Mary, who was also interested in this place, she lived down in Malvern somewhere. East Malvern, you might call it. I know where she lived, in a flat. And only a few months ago, she died of cancer too. So now, I don't know, but I presume John owns it now. But he was living there, and he had another boy who was up in Queensland, came back and lived with him, and the twins lived there. Little Mary and Kathy, we used to call them. Well, this other boy's getting married, he's gone. This has all happened since Mary died, you know, in only the last few months. And one of the twins worked in the courts. Don't know quite what job she had, but some job with magistrates in the courts. And she's been moved to Horsham or Hamilton or somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
She's gone. The other daughter is down living in Mary's flat, looking after that till they sell it or something. And John's on his own.
Yeah.
I haven't been up there since. I miss cars in that way, but John's on his own there now. But he'd tell you all about that property. Mm-hmm. Well, Bill Hudson knows a lot about it, because Bill had the selling of it and doing this and that, and he bought a bit of it, and, you know. But that's their place, called Hafra, H-A-F-R-I. H-A-F-R-A, I think. Well, that was Nurse Trials.
You haven't told me anything about yourself.
Hmm?
You haven't told me anything about yourself.
I didn't tell you about myself.
Oh, well,
anyway,
when you finished school.
That's that place, but...
Hmm?
And that's Baker's Road, and it runs straight through right down to Tour. And that old coach road should be called Baker's Road.
Mm.
So that they like. There's lots of things I talk about. I talk too much all the while.
No. Well, this is the right time. This is lovely.
But to see, the original leaseholder here was Terence O'Connor, as you probably know.
Mm-hmm.
He had all the land, you know, the old township name, right down to the creek. And some people say Captain Gardner was the original. But he got his lease from Terence O'Connor. I don't know where Terence O'Connor lived, I'd like to know. Captain Gardner probably did live around here somewhere. His brother certainly did, Abraham. But Terence O'Connor had the original lease, no doubt about that. Well, some time ago, there was a photo in one of these local papers and an article from Councillor Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
That he wanted to call Brentwood O'Connor. He said, nobody's recognised Terence O'Connor. Brentwood should be called O'Connor. Well, that might have been all right, but the thing that upset me was they had a photo of him up in the cemetery, standing alongside Terence O'Connor's grave, or supposed to be his grave, and he's standing up there and he says that the inscriptions are that old that you can't read them. But this was put up by Terence O'Connor's daughter, Sarah. It's, you know, it's a big stone,
yeah.
And so on and so forth. Well, now that's all baloney. As far as I'm concerned, Terence O'Connor never had a daughter. It was his niece. And I can prove that quite easily by reading the tombstone, which I can read, so he should have been able to read. And it plainly says that she erected this monument, or whatever you call it, in memory of her uncle. And that's right, she was his niece. And he built Mount Carmel for her, for his, a lot of things, and even Norman says for his daughter Terence, his daughter Sarah.
Yeah.
It wasn't his daughter, it was his niece.
Mm.
And she also had a farm called the Meadows further down.
Mm.
And John, he was an accountant, worked with Bill Hudson down here for years, lived in Harkaway, he's now down the Meadows. John Spain, he was an accountant. Now John Spain's now got the Meadows, and he's got the right information. He said it was his niece, but it wasn't his daughter. Well, I wrote a letter to the paper about this, you know, I started there. I wrote a lot, said, this is all baloney, I can read the blooming thing, so he ought to be able to read it, and it wasn't his daughter, it was his niece, and all this. And I agreed that something should be done about the memory of Terence O'Connor, but his information was wrong. And anyway, I wrote all this out, and then I got to the stage where I said, now, I don't think Terence O'Connor was married, never had any family. And I got a bit doubtful about all this because I couldn't prove any of it. I went round the Roman Catholic Church. I thought they may have records of, you know, his death certificates and all this. And they said, oh, no way. In those days, they were all held in Dandenong. And I never got to Dandenong to check it. But I got to the stage where I thought, well, now, it's no good me writing this because, you know, I'm not sure of it, you see, and I don't want them saying you're wrong. So I never sent them the letter. But he was out to Billy O'Council Wilson, although he won't admit it. Now, they should have something in memory of Terence O'Connor. And I had in mind that should be down at the Leisure Centre down here, you see. But then they named that oval Edwin Flack Oval. Now, that's all right, too, because Edwin Flack had Burnbank up here.
Yeah.
And Flack and Gamble and Flack and Sewell and all the rest of it. Used to make Burnbank cheddar cheese. It was made in Mansfield Estate. Well, that's all right. Flack needed memory too, but that would have been nice for O'Connor because that was part of his property. But they should, you know, remember Terence O'Connor somehow. And I don't mean, you know, a back street or something. If they build an oval down at Brentwood or somewhere, you know, a big thing, they could call that. They got the Arch Brown Reserve over here. Archie was a lad around the town. He was very keen on it, of course, always. Football and cricket and all that, that's good old. Don't mind that a bit. Now, Edwin Flack Reserve, that's all right. But there should be a Terence O'Connor something somewhere. And something decent, you know. Because he was the original man.